Show. Website, thericksmithshow.com. So some interesting news. I mean, I'm sure everybody's heard of the Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. I remember the picture of him in Russia standing out in front of the, I think it was standing out in front of the Kremlin. Again, all roads seem to lead back to Russia. Anyway, evidently he's claiming that he's going to leave his job as sheriff, going to take a federal appointment as Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Oh, joy. I cannot wait to find out what this means and, well, just how bad this is going to be. My goodness. Which is why we've asked Tom Javits to come talk with us. He's Vice President of Immigration Policy at the Center for American Progress. Tom, thanks for taking time for us.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me.
So we've got the guy who's heading up one of a horrible jail system there in Milwaukee where people have died under his care. We're now putting him in charge of part of that, I guess, huh?
Well, I mean, before we get to that, I will say it's not even really quite clear what's going on. Right? He's such a provocateur. He is really a loose cannon. You know, all we know about this is that he declared on a local radio station that he had accepted this position. But shortly after he did that, DHS actually tweeted out something indicating that they have not really made a decision yet or no formal announcement. That was yesterday at 5 p.m. We haven't heard anything since. So, you know, this could well be an instance in which he just got out ahead of himself, like he probably often does. It could be something that they've started to have second thoughts about. But right now, we're still waiting for an official announcement from DHS.
I got to be honest. He's probably the last guy I want in a position like that, given the personality, given the history, and the fact. Again, I go back to Russia. What the heck is a sheriff from Milwaukee doing in Russia?
Yeah, I mean, so it's unclear what position he thinks he may have accepted. There are a couple that we're looking at. There's an assistant secretary position for the Office of Partnership and Engagement. There's also an assistant secretary for the Office of State and Local Law Enforcement. He's been sort of rumored for both of those. You know, both of those positions are positions that rely upon a person who's able to build relationships with other state and local government entities, with law enforcement around the country, with tribal leaders, and in some cases with universities and other sort of, you know, public entities and private entities. It's not someone who has become famous essentially as a bomb thrower for saying things like, you know, Islam is a sick religion, and you know, Black Lives Matter is akin to ISIS. I mean, he's not someone who has said that, you know, when dealing with Democratic officials, he wants to throttle them, right? This is not someone who's going to have terrible success going to law enforcement agencies or local governments around the country to build bridges and find ways to work productively with them.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, we've got an administration that doesn't want to do any of those things either. So it seems to me he would be a perfect fit for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. He is in line with the kinds of people they've been tapping for positions throughout the Department of Homeland Security in particular. There are political appointees throughout that entire department right now, all at the sub-cabinet level, all the level that don't require Senate confirmation, it appears, who would, if they were held up to the light of day, if they were put before the Senate and forced to answer questions and defend their nominations in order to get confirmation, would almost certainly never make it through, right? Like, I would love to see, if this position is one that requires Senate confirmation, some of the senators out there that are in, you know, tough states try to defend his record as being someone who should be filling this role. I think they'd have a really hard time owning this appointment.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this and I don't see the qualification, but here again, I guess that doesn't really matter because it doesn't seem to matter. But here's the thing that, you know, I've been saying today is, you know, maybe what's going on with the Trump administration now, maybe we the people are going to wake up to the reality that this stuff is hard, that it takes people who are qualified, people who know what they're doing. Not just any idiot can be president. Not just any idiot can run these things. Because, look, we've got an idiot who's doing really just a horrible job of it. Are you somewhere in that ballpark that maybe we might come back to that idea that you need to be qualified?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're all trying to find silver linings right now. I mean, for me, working in the immigration space, I look at this as being one of our low points, right? I mean, we are seeing policies. Just yesterday, we had data come out indicating the tremendous ramp up in immigration enforcement under this administration that is dramatically increasing the apprehensions of people who have no criminal histories whatsoever. The idea that this administration is targeting, quote unquote, bad hombres has been betrayed by their own data, which shows that they're actually really going after everyone and tearing apart families. The hope is that out of this divisiveness, we're able to build a broader and stronger coalition that can stand for progressive values going forward. And I think we got off to an amazing start the day after the inauguration with the Women's March. Just 1 week after that, we had people turning out in airports around the country in defense of American values and in opposition to the Muslim ban. And I think it's our duty to keep up those efforts, because if we don't, you know, these things don't happen by themselves. They really require people engaging in our democracy in order to stand up for what they believe in.
Yeah, I mean, I look at someone like Clark and the message that would send, especially to the undocumented population, and it's nothing good there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what is he famous for? Just a few weeks ago, staff at his jail were put before a grand jury because they were involved in the death by dehydration of a prisoner who was denied water for weeks. He is a sheriff who became famous because his jail policy required the shackling of a pregnant woman while she was in labor, and her baby died during the process. This is a guy who is really the worst of the worst when it comes to law enforcement, and it's really upon, frankly, it's on all of us, but I think it's on other law enforcement leaders to stand up and say he's not our representative, and we think that he's not the person that we want to be engaging with in a productive way to try and, you know, ensure that we can best protect our communities.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Tom. I mean, there are a lot of people who go, you know, we need that kind of, you know, iron fist. You know, law enforcement should be, you know, rough and tough, and, you know, those prisoners shouldn't be handled with kid gloves. And, you know, you look at this stuff and you go, those are two very different worldviews on how we handle this stuff. Do we really want that kind of a mentality at higher levels? I don't even want him where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I saw someone say yesterday that Wisconsin, Milwaukee's loss is Milwaukee's gain is the country's loss. Yeah, so I mean, I agree with that. And I will say, and I don't work in the criminal justice space generally, but I've worked around people who focus in that area, and there's been a lot of strong bipartisan effort in recent years to put together policies that are, you know, sort of that don't follow that standard sort of tough on crime line, but instead try to be, you know, a little more intelligent about how we're going to be designing policies. So, for instance, this is a guy who cut all rehabilitation programs in his jail and was waking up the people who were in the jail with bullhorns in the morning because he thought that rehabilitation has no role in the criminal justice system. That's ridiculous. That's counterproductive to good government. These are individuals who will be back in society again. The idea that you would think that pausing their lives for months or years without trying to assist their rehabilitation is a good public policy is absurd. And it's one reason why he lost control of his own jail. He is not a person, I think, there are people who subscribe to that view. I don't think that view is the dominant view. And I think we've seen a rising trend of bipartisan support, much of it rising up in the states and localities, much of it rising up in Republican districts, just like, you know, in Democrat districts, saying we need to be smarter on criminal justice policy. And he is not an example of that.
Is there any way to stop this? I mean, look, I mean, when I saw this, I was literally shocked. I'm going, really? This is who they're going to choose? Is there a way to stop this? Is there a confirmation process for him to go through? Or is this just one of those patronage appointments?
Well, so I mean, I think they're good question. I don't know the answer to that completely. I will say that the fact that DHS, just a couple of hours after he made his announcement, put out that tweet, I don't know quite what to make of that, other than to think that, you know, either it wasn't a done deal, or even if it was a done deal, they think they need a little bit more time to think it through. So maybe this thing's never going to materialize, and he's just going to look like a bozo. If it was more of a done deal, and they do come forward with the formal announcement, then I think we should take a look certainly at what position is he being appointed to, what are the responsibilities of that position, and are those responsibilities the kinds of things that don't in fact require confirmation? It looks like from the initial news articles that the positions they're targeting haven't historically required confirmation, so there might not be a direct way of blocking it through the Senate process. And so then I think it'll just come down to essentially what the what people say, what people do, right? How do we respond to the fact that a person like this is taking over that role? He's not the first person being put in one of these positions that don't require confirmation, that are wholly inappropriate for those positions. And so I think, you know, these are just things we need to watch and try and make sure we maintain accountability.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary because, look, I'm not a huge fan of the Department of Homeland Security anyway. I mean, the powers that they have, the overreaching powers, I would say, I don't want anyone to have, especially someone like this, especially people with this kind of authoritarian leaning. That kind of frightens me.
Yeah, I mean, again, for his position in particular, I mean, he's not going to be the director of ICE. Right, he's not going to be the person who actually directly controls the deportation officers and agents that go out into the field to do enforcement action. We understand his job will be to essentially form partnerships and engage with other states and localities, other law enforcement agencies. Some of that we can imagine with certain jurisdictions that may have the same mindset as him. Could well lead to a great ramp up in immigration enforcement in those places. That will have to police, frankly. I mean, I think we've seen in a number of instances that when states and localities get into the business of immigration enforcement, they typically also get into the business of unconstitutional policing practices. So that's going to be something that we have to watch. But frankly, a lot of jurisdictions out there, not just major cities, but also counties, states, including smaller areas as well, have been going in the opposite direction as a result of this administration's assault on immigrants. They've been essentially banding together to stand with their communities and find ways in which they can strengthen their communities in defense of both, community safety, but also in defense of just general community welfare. And I think we're going to continue to see that trend, particularly in response to, if this goes through, the appointment of someone as divisive and dangerous as Sheriff Clark.
Another opportunity to get active and engaged and begin to take back our government. Tom, I appreciate you taking some time for us, sharing your thoughts on this and letting us know what's going on.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Great talking with you, Tom Javits. Again, if you want to check out their website, we've got a link at therickSmithShow.com. Just go to AmericanProgress.org. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Love to talk.